Chapter 26. Mia. Bastian placed a serving plate the size of a flying saucer on the bar in front of Kaylin. Three perfectly golden crab cakes and a mountain of fries awaited the teen's shrunken stomach. The fluffernutters from the night before, long gone. "Eat up, kid." He slid her a fork and knife, wrapped in a turquoise napkin, followed by a pint of cola. She didn't need to be told twice. Forgoing the utensils, Kaylin dug in with her hands, ignoring the ketchup and remoulade. Mia had never seen someone so ravenous, except maybe Kai, who could endure days without food but griped every hour that passed without snacks. His and Amma's metabolisms adjusted to accommodate their intake, keeping their bodies robust regardless of their environment. Kaylin, on the other hand, was just starved. Bastian shot Mia a questioning look, and she responded with a rueful smile. Kaylin had slept until noon, and after stocking up on junk food from Marty's and buying a pair of cheap sneakers, Mia opted to get the teen some fresh air. It had taken a while to find clothes that fit her, an old pair of leggings and a cashmere sweater that shriveled after a bad stint in the dryer. In the meantime, Connor dropped off Ripper, shrugging noncommittally when Mia asked after Kai. The orange munchkin hid under the couch for another hour before emerging to scarf down some newly acquired cat food. Bolder than the night before, he sniffed at Mia and Kaylin, then squatted atop the counter, tail flicking to and fro. Now at the King of Spades, Mia watched Kaylin eat her weight in French fries. The bar couldn't open until 4, giving them time to mill about.
"You need anything else, you let me know," said Bastian. "Girl looks too weak to whip a net."
"These are really good,"
Kaylin mumbled, her eyes tracking the goulash chef.
"Those are southern crab cakes. My mama made those for me anytime I was feeling afflicted."
His shoulders pulled back proudly.
"New England could learn a thing or two about good comfort food."
"We have crab cakes, too,"
Kaylin pointed out. Bastian threw his head back and guffawed.
"Not like these, you don't."
Kaylin's gaze trailed the length of the bar, then fixed on the shadows beneath the antique mirror. Bastian's laugh came to a hiccuping halt.
"What are you staring at over there?"
Mia glanced over her shoulder. The dumb boy sat quietly under the heavy brass frame, staring at the newcomer. His rotund, furry head canted like he was trying to make sense of her, and he chittered softly.
"You can see him?"
Mia turned back to Kaylin, who nodded curtly. Bastian threw up his arms.
"Shit, no, I'm out. Going to that white lady's crystal shop to buy some overpriced sage."
He paused mid-step and squeezed his eyes shut.
"After I finish prepping."
Sighing, he beelined for the kitchen doors.
"Holla if you need anything."
Mia leaned back to leave the line of sight between the domovoy and Kaylin unbroken.
"You can see him too?"
Kaylin polished off the crab cakes, but the pile of fries was insurmountable.
"He's a house spirit."
Mia had never met anyone capable of peering right through the boundary between worlds. Amma and Kai came close, both liminal, both able to sense things beyond the earthly plane. They interacted with the domovoy from behind the veil, tossing hair clippings and breadcrumbs his way, but they couldn't truly see and experience what Mia did. Kaylin was the first. The teen beamed a smile. Something she hadn't shown before.
"I thought I was the only one who saw things. I thought I was sick."
Mia clasped her hands together under the bar. Her palms were clammy, anxiety wringing her into restlessness as she racked her brain for how to engage a traumatized teen. She couldn't approach her like she did Kai, bludgeoning him with what he avoided to force him to look.
"So far, so good,"
she reassured herself, bolstered by Kaylin's infectious smile. They were building rapport through the one thing they had in common,
contact with the dreamscape. I once thought I was being spirited away, Mia told her. Insomnia, sleepwalking, panic attacks, hallucinations, all of it. Figured I was losing my mind. But I know now there are things out there that don't fit most people's idea of what's real and what isn't. Doesn't matter if you call it madness or haunting, the experience is real. Kaylin fell silent as she dropped her gaze to her lap. Ochre hair brushed against her brows, obscuring her face. Mia wondered if she was weighing the wisdom of disclosure. But when the lull yawned out into a gaping maw, she snapped it shut with a question. Have you ever gone to a place that feels different? Like a dream that isn't a dream?
This place used to feel like a dream. Kaylin's voice was barely audible.
She shifted in the stool, then took a slurp of her soda.
Every place feels that way to me, whether I'm awake or asleep.
Her eyes strayed to Mia's face.
I saw you in one of my dreams. A bad one. When you showed up at the warehouse. I wasn't sure if I was still in that nightmare.
It sounded like a riddle, and Mia didn't have the clues to puzzle it out. But the teen clearly recognized her from the hellscape with the doll factory. Mia's own life had once been a waking nightmare, and her conviction that a supernatural entity was out to kidnap her only heightened the unreality of it all. But Kaylin didn't seem to suffer the same burden. She wasn't afraid of the dreamscape like Mia had been. Perhaps she simply couldn't decide which world better suited her difference. Whatever the case, she was clearly acquainted with the ethereal plane. Do you remember anything from before you were found 3 years ago? A direct question, but one that had been burning on Mia's tongue. Kaylin seemed perfectly socialized, yet she'd appeared out of thin air, according to the report Amma dug up. Kaylin ducked a nod.
Sort of. I remember being in a different place. I remember a friend, a spirit who took care of me. We watched this side, learned about it. It's a haze, but once I was here, everything came pretty naturally. I just copied those around me.
The spirit who cared for her must have been the Leshy. Yet Mia couldn't wrap her head around what exactly Kaylin was supposed to be. She'd clearly come to the waking world with some knowledge of it, and what she lacked, she'd learned through mimicry. What about your parents? They probably miss you. Kaylin worried her lower lip.
I can't go back there.
Why not? Mia pressed.
It's complicated.
Were you having problems with them?
No.
Kaylin's head snapped up.
No, nothing like that. They were trying so hard to help me, but I don't think I can be helped.
Helped? Mia ventured. What do you need help with?
Her.
A half whisper, half hiss. As though the mere utterance could conjure a ghost. Mia recalled the presence Kaylin had mentioned in her diary, the one calling her. Is she chasing you? Hesitation, nervous writhing.
Pulling, more like.
Was there really a distinction between chasing and pulling, where haunting was concerned? And who is she? A frantic shake of the head.
I don't know. All I know is that if I listen to the call, if I find her, something terrible will happen.
The teen released a shaky breath.
I don't want to talk about this. Not right now.
She poked at a fry.
How did you find me, anyway?
Your friend hired me. Mia said after cudgeling her urge to push the matter. A tall, elderly man who... She measured her next words carefully. He's a foreigner in this plane. Kaylin nodded, drawing figure eights with the French fry.
He cared for me on the other side. The place you say isn't like anywhere else.
When did you meet him? She paused, her tracing on the plate.
I don't know. Time isn't the same over there, but I feel like I've known him for a long time.
The Leshy.
Is that what he is?
Kaylin sat up straighter.
He doesn't have a name, though it doesn't seem to matter to him.
She swung her legs and huffed, her countenance finally loosening.
Either way, I came to this side because I had to, but he, the Leshy, he couldn't follow. I miss him.
Alarm spangled through Mia's skull. What do you mean you had to come to this side? Kaylin's face twisted like a barbed knot had lodged in her throat.
The call,
she said, voice wobbling.
I couldn't fight it anymore.
Mia placed a gentle hand on the girl's back, the motion spurring a choked sob.
I'm sorry. We don't have to talk about it.
Guilt silenced her, though she'd finally woven several pieces of the story together. Kaylin wasn't being called to the dreamscape. She'd been summoned by something on this side. Did she slip into the ethereal plane to escape? To resist this call? The Leshy may have protected her, given her an anchor so she could battle whatever was trying to bait her. Yet Mia had never heard of spirits trying to lay snares from the earthly realm. They spun their webs in the dreamscape, threading their lures through the cracks between worlds and into the nightmares of their victims, entangling them from afar. The carvers said Kaylin had been looking for a door. Mia initially suspected that she was retracing her steps to the park where she'd first appeared, searching for a way back to her friend. But her pursuer was tempting her to that very spot, as if she knew that intercepting Kaylin at the gateway between worlds was the easiest way to corner her. Hinges screeched from the entryway of the King of Spades, interrupting the tense exchange.
Mia, I thought you'd be at home.
Amma tapped her nails against her belt as the door squealed to a stop behind her, a disapproving frown curving her mouth. I decided to take Kaylin out for some fresh air, Mia replied, rotating on her stool. The white wolf's amber gaze slid to the teen, then back to Mia.
That was reckless. What if someone's out looking for her? They might have spotted you.
She's been cooped up long enough. She deserves to get out a bit. Needled by Amma's admonition, Mia hopped out of her seat.
Would you be scolding Kai if he was the one with Kaylin?
Taken aback, Amma's hand dropped from her hip and flopped against her thigh.
Anyone would tell you this is a bad idea.
Kai wouldn't. Amma's stare iced over.
I wouldn't expect otherwise.
An underhanded insult. Mia pursed her lips as Kaylin quietly observed the exchange. I suppose we should go back.
Who's that?
Kaylin leaned over to get a better look.
She was with you that night.
Mia hesitated as the white wolf simmered. This is my friend Amma. She helped me find you. Amma crossed her arms over her chest and shifted her weight as Kaylin continued to peer at her, unblinking. Finally, she twitched under the scrutiny.
She's like him,
Kaylin concluded, severing whatever invisible cord she'd used to reach inside Amma.
How could you tell?
Mia asked.
I don't know, Kaylin shrugged. They're just different. It's like telling cats from dogs.
Amma batted her eyelashes.
Who are the cats in this analogy?
Kaylin puffed up her cheeks, then gave a noncommittal croak.
I don't know what you are, just that you're not human.
Clearly displeased at the prospect of being either, Amma returned her attention to Mia.
I want to make sure you're all right after what happened last night. You seemed upset.
We're working it out, Mia said evasively. The White Wolf squinted, unconvinced.
Are you?
Mia silenced her with a stern yes. She didn't want Amma prying. Not now. The wolves had always been at each other's throats, though they'd reached a tenuous peace over the last few years. Still, that didn't stop Amma from sniffing out Kai's blunders like a wounded deer's blood trail. The huntress wouldn't dare forego the opportunity for an easy kill.
I'm taking things slow, Mia said, watching Kaylin polish off her remaining fries. Just keep your eyes peeled for anything weird, I guess.
Amma arched a perfectly groomed eyebrow.
Everything is weird if you stare hard enough.
A chuckle worked its way up Mia's throat, her tone softening. You know what I mean. The White Wolf half smiled.
I'll call you later. Try not to get too adventurous.
She glanced at Kaylin.
Not until we know more.
Mia didn't have the heart to ask the teen about her captivity. She hoped, perhaps foolishly, that Kai would do the work on that front, sparing Mia the uncomfortable task of weeding the truth from Kaylin's bleak recollections. She stiffly put on her mauve leather jacket, watching as Kaylin layered up with a scarf and a spare coat they'd found collecting dust in the closet, offering Amma a reconciliatory hug. Mia led Kaylin out the door, the hinges whirring as the King of Spades bid them farewell.